Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The second way of dying, he means, is never to be separated from God. And the first way is our physical death. And this reality of death that Jesus confronts here in this gospel is, this is an interesting thing because God did not create death. It's not from him. It wasn't his idea. He did not want it. And yet, we know that, you know, he's allowed our freedom. He's allowed human freedom in such a way that we were free to follow him or free not to. So we could say yes to God, or we could say no to God. And if God is the source of life itself, and if we say no to him and turn our back and walk away from him, and he's life itself, what will happen if we walk away from life itself? We will die. So it's through actually sinning that death entered the world. That was a long time ago. We look at the world now and we say, why is it so messed up if God loves us so much? You know, the problem of evil. If there's a good God who's all-powerful, how come bad things happen to good people? And even sometimes, how come bad things happen to bad people? You know, there's even some bad things that you're like, well, I didn't even want that for that person. Now I feel bad for even them. And they're a horrible person. You know? And why does this, why did this happen? Well, that's a fair question. But what can often happen with that is then we say, well, you know, I don't know if I trust God. I don't know if I can trust him because this bad thing is happening. It might be a death. It might be an illness. It might be the breakup of a relationship that feels like you're dying. It might be, there's so many things in life that we could look at and say, if God is good and he loves me, why is he allowing me to go through such hurt? And the truth is that as a result of our freedom, we can say yes or no to him. In his plan for our goodness, we can say yes or no. And everyone you've ever met, they can say yes or no. And if they say no to God's plan of goodness, it might hurt you too. It certainly hurt Jesus. But here's the thing. Well, I guess that's kind of, that's my first point. First point, God also has been hurt by this. In fact, more so than any of us. So what's the reality? Death enters the world through sin. All the suffering in the world as a result of God has this great plan for us. Adam and Eve sin because of their own, they're tempted by the devil, who's real, but they are the ones who sin, okay? And then, what does God do about it? I wonder if I have a Bible here. No. Well, that's okay. The first three pages of the Bible are about God creating us for communion with himself. You know what the next several thousand pages are? God saving us from our decision to go away from communion with him. That's the basic plot line right there. The first three pages, God has this communion with Adam and Eve. It's wonderful. He's made them to live forever. You weren't made to live for 60 years or 12 years or 80 years. You weren't made to live for just 80 years. You were made to live eternally. We know that inherently because death is so troubling to us. It's not natural to us. We do have to accept it as part of our fallen condition, okay? So the first three pages, God makes us for a relationship with himself. We turn away. We're like, no, thanks. I'm going to do my own thing here. Yeah, I got this, Lord. I'm just going to take this. And so what? We cut ourselves off from life himself. And does God just leave us there in death and in sin and in suffering and in pain? And does he say, well, you made your bed, lie in it? No. No, the next several thousand pages are God's plan, God's rescue mission to come after us, to rescue us from our sin and from death itself. God did not create death, but he has done something about it. And Jesus came to confront death. That's point number two. Jesus comes to confront death. How does he do that? Well, he takes on the thing that brought it into the world, our sins. Right? He takes on the penalty of our sin on the cross. Right? He's confronting sin and death at the same time, allowing all of the consequences of our sins. He steps in front of us and takes all of them. Okay? And death itself, he's taking death on. He takes it on right here. Okay? He takes death on right here when he brings a dead man back to life. This is not the only time in the Bible we hear Jesus doing this, but it is the most extensive story. And because of this, many of the Pharisees begin to believe in Jesus. And this is a problem. This is a big part of why they start to think about how can we kill Jesus? Everyone's going to believe in him, and we do not want that. So how can we kill him? Why? Because he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he raises Lazarus from the dead. He's confronting death. And that's going to come at a cost, at a great cost to Jesus. In a certain sense, it comes at a cost to Lazarus. Because as I always like to point out, he had to die twice. And I don't know, we don't know, there are a lot of thoughts about what happened with Lazarus. But think about it. If people kill Jesus because they want to kill his message, and you were raised from the dead by Jesus, do you think your whole life would be a witness to his power and to the fact that he is the resurrection and the life? And then would people hunt you for that? So Lazarus probably had an interesting life. But having received so much from Jesus, I'm sure that he was, you have to be pretty bold at that point, because you're following someone who death itself cannot stop. So, I mean, maybe at the same time he would have walked up to somebody who, you know, to one of the kind of the Pharisees who wanted to kill Jesus, and maybe he would have just said, what are you going to do, kill me again? It's not going to stop Jesus. There's nothing you can do to me. He's already brought me back from the dead. Now, some of us have experienced that on a spiritual level, an emotional level, all of that, but that spiritual reality of, I was so dead inside. I was so lost and sinful or depressed or whatever. Like, I was so sad. I was so hurt. I was so broken. And Jesus came into that and pulled me out of that sort of tomb of sadness and gave me joy. And I know that I have life. I'm not just existing on this earth. I have real life. When you experience that kind of a resurrection, you know that what is someone else going to do to you? Because if you bear witness to Jesus, or just in life, you know, just in life, what are you going to do to me? I follow somebody who can't be stopped by all this regret and sadness and pain and lost relationships, whatever, illness, whatever. He can't be stopped by any of that. I follow him. So what are you gonna do to me? And we could say that to life sometimes. Just the situation is like just intimidating and daunting. But who do you follow? Who do you believe in? Who is the one who you believe in? Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, untie him. There's a lot of spiritual significance to that, which I won't go into, but just inner healing stuff. He comes back from the dead and he's unbound, but so free. Like there's this freedom that he gives. There's this freedom on the spiritual level and the physical level. These are always connected. Whenever there's a physical healing, there's always a spiritual or an emotional healing as well. And whenever there's an inner healing, like a physical or an emotional healing, there's often a physical, sometimes, I shouldn't say often, sometimes there's a physical healing as well. So Jesus brings healing. He is bringing life and the fullness of life, bringing us out of our tombs. And sometimes our tomb isn't immense sadness. It's just darkness, lack of purpose, being lost. I don't know why I'm here. I'm kind of aimless. That's not a real fulfilling, happy, joyful life. And when he brings us out of that, there's this joy. So when you say yes to Jesus, and you're preparing for baptism, some of you are already baptized, some of you are recently baptized, and what happened when you were baptized? And for those of you who are preparing for it, What's happening? You are becoming, you are in Christ. So the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life, you're united to him. He lives in you. Therefore, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Eternal life. So you are immortal. You cannot die. We can die in the body, but we cannot die spiritually. That's what it means to be following Jesus, to belong to Jesus, to say, I'm his and he's mine. That's what it is to be in a relationship with Jesus. He's the only person who has the power over death. I ask this question at every funeral. I think every funeral now, well, almost everyone, do you have a relationship with the one person who has the power over death? The one person who gives eternal life. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Because he very much wants you to have that, to be his, and for him to be yours, and his resurrection power to live in you, not only in the sense of eternal life like in heaven, for sure that's kind of key, like that's kind of great. Without that, I don't think anything else means anything. Ultimately, without eternal life, everything else you do in this life is meaningless because it does not have a lasting effect on anything or anyone. But if there is eternal life, if he gives eternal life, then ultimately everything you do is intensely meaningful. Everything. And he gives that eternal life, but also, as I mentioned, he raises us to new life even now. Like even now, like I said, pulling us out of confusion, being lost, despair, depression, sadness, illness. Sometimes it's through physical healing, and sometimes it's through the realization that God may not heal me in this life physically, but he's the resurrection and the life. Why does Jesus do miracles? Not just for the miracle itself, but because it points to the fact that ultimately he heals everyone. Because people ask, well, how come God didn't raise so-and-so from the dead? But he did, if they believed in him. How come he didn't heal so-and-so from... Did they believe in him? Then he did. You're not going to meet a sick person in heaven. You're not going to meet a dead person in heaven. That doesn't make any sense. He heals everyone who believes in him. He raises to life everyone who believes in him. This miracle, like all miracles, points beyond itself to the fact that we need to put our faith in Jesus. And we need to say, Lord, I trust in you. And whatever the world can throw at me, whatever the people who hate you or me or just the people who maybe they don't hate, you know, they're not trying to hate anybody. They're hurting people through their choices. Whatever life throws at me, what's it really going to do to me if I'm following the one who even conquers death?